We will prove the benefit with the offshore installation in Simple 3, and then we will prove it will be more efficient and more silent. And then we go for real for the installation in the commercial project in 2026.
Offshore wind energy has gone through tremendous developments in recent years. Innovation was a key driver for its success. If offshore wind wants to make a lasting contribution to the energy transition, the sector must continue to innovate. I am David de Jager of GROW, a consortium with a joint research program in offshore wind. In this podcast series, I want to give you an impression of the key research and innovations that will shape the future of offshore wind.
Today I'm here at Kersten BV in Wansum, next to Venray in the Netherlands, next to the river of Maas. And Kersten is a specialist in bending metals, and they are today installing the YET ring that GBM Works has been developed or is developing. And I'm going to ask some people from GBM Works what we are witnessing here and what this YET ring is actually doing and how it can help to install monopiles in the future faster, at lower cost, with less noise. And I see Hein. Hein, can I ask you some questions?
Yes, of course, you can ask questions. Yes.
Hein, you are Hein van Opstal. You are COO of GBM Works.
Correct. I'm running the operational side. So once we have a contract in GBM, then it goes over to me and I will manage it.
Yeah.
With the team, of course.
Of course.
Yes.
We are here to witness the installation of the YET ring in a section of a monopile. How is this day for you? Is it exciting?
It's very exciting, and I always like to go away from the desk and go into a factory and see what you actually have thought about and what you want to realize. And you always get new ideas when you go into the factory, and you get a nice feeling.
But can you tell me a little bit more about this YET ring and why you think it's the solution to a smooth installation of monopiles in the future?
Yes, well, of course, we have the objective to do it silently. We hope that we can, by this technology, remove the bubble curtain or the mitigation measures to minimize the noise. The driving will go faster and more easy. And that's caused because the YET ring will take away the friction inside the pile of the soil. So that is the objective.
Because YETs will fluidize the sand, and that will lower the friction, and that can contribute to it. I'm going to ask Charlotte in a moment a little bit about fluidization. And this is one project, but I think you have a series of projects in the whole development phase because you are responsible for a startup.
Yes.
And can you tell me a little more about, let's say, these range of development phases?
So these monopiles you see here and which are being installed are going to be used on the CMOX project. And the CMOX project is basically they're going to measure the lateral bearing capacity effects on each installation method. So the impact method, the vibro method, the vibro jet method, and the gentle pile driving. So these piles will be used with our vibro jet method in the CMOX project. But at the same time, in the Simple2B project, so the Simple2B, Simple stands for silent installation of monopiles. We add two additional tests. One is the scour penetration test, so we can see how the ring will survive when it goes through a meter of scour protection. And the second test we add is an impact hammer test to see how the impact hammer affects the design we've now made.
Is it robust enough? Will it survive? You just mentioned that you also want to know if the YET ring is able to withstand impact hammers. But isn't it the whole idea that you want to avoid impact hammering?
Yes, correct. We want to avoid impact hammering, but it is always a mitigation measure in case you do not reach the penetration depth. Then you have to finish the installation with the impact hammer. And then it's important that the water pipes, hoses in the monopile and the YET ring are not going to block the inside of the pile so the electrical cables cannot pass by. So we need to see the behavior with the impact hammering on the ring.
Let me guess, there's also a simple three in the making.
We are talking with partners at the moment and putting together the proposal, and actually we hope we can submit it next week. The Simple 3 project, which is then six times installing a 4 meter diameter pile in the North Sea. And in this way we will reach the TRL 7 level that is required by RVO for the commercial projects that are, of course, happening at the moment on the North Sea.
And then you are already at 4 meters, a real installation in under offshore conditions. And the next step would be go to even higher diameters.
Commercial project, which we have already signed, that is an 8.5 meter diameter at least, maybe 8.6. Those monopiles still need to be designed. And that will happen early 2026.
And is it for you a question whether that ever will materialize, and because you will learn on the road and you will improve and you will deliver, or could there be any showstoppers?
Everything should go well, and based on the Simple 1 project, the technology has proven itself. But to be able to do it in a controlled way, that is actually the learning process we are going through. And so I don't think there will be a showstopper, but to be able to do it in a controlled way, that's what it's about.
But I understand that during installation you also can control the pressure of the water and the volume of water that you are pumping, that you are jetting.
And yes, so the control system of the pumps is also something which is under our scope and the responsibility. So if we go out also in the Simple 3 for the 6 installations, and we manage ourselves the control system of the pumps, and of course based on the soil conditions, we pump harder or softer.
Other question I have, could you combine jetting with impact hammering?
Yes, that's possible.
In theory, but you don't think it will be the future? Or
no, we like to minimize the sound and the noise.
And the manufacturing of the jet, you're not doing that. You're basically designing and understanding the technology and, of course, commercializing it. And you're looking for companies like Kersten to make it for you.
Correct. So the fixed jet ring we will not produce ourselves. As I explained about the retrievable unit, that is a machine that we in the end will have on stock, and of course then rent it out to the installation companies.
Yeah. And how do you end up at Kersten in Limburg, which is not close to the North Sea? You would in Holland, you always expect that all the activities in offshore are close to the harbors.
Well, this is why the industry projects like CMOX are good. So I talked with Rob Atkinson from
DOT.
DOT, yeah. And he said, we know a company is called Kersten. Why don't you go and have a look? So I went here, and with my mechanical engineering background, I understood that bending, curving metal is not so easy. And they are specialized in it.
Okay. Thank you for the moment.
You're welcome.
Charlotte, hello.
Hello.
You're Charlotte van Verseveld, and what's your role at GBM Works?
I'm a geotechnical specialist.
Okay, so you can tell me everything about, let's say, the concept of the fluidization, how it works.
Exactly.
Well,
so
shoot.
Geotechnical engineering is actually when the engineering meets soil and rock.
Yeah. And so how is the fluidization? What is fluidization, and how is it going to help to install these huge monopiles in the future?
Fluidization is when we add water to the soil in order for the soil to lose its strength. And by doing this on the inside of the pile, we're trying to reduce the friction that the pile will get from the soil when we install the pile into the soil.
And for that you have the ring with nozzles that spill out all this this water. Where does the water come from?
Yeah, so on the inside of the pile we have pipes. So we actually bring the water into the pile from almost the top of the pile. And we're investigating if in offshore projects we can take the water just from the sea.
Yeah.
But from now, for our experiments, we just bring our own water supply. And then via the pipes, it's brought down all the way to the bottom of the pile. And there a ring is installed. And then the water enters the ring. And via the ring, it's brought 360 degrees around the pile.
Yeah, that's what you see in the tube. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And then it goes out via our nozzles.
And then they do the fluidization work. And I see that the jet ring is not at the top of, or the bottom, I have to say, of the monopile, but a little bit inwards. What's the reason for that?
Yeah, so it all has to do with the pile stability that we want in the end. So, of course, we want the wind turbines to stand for a long time and not move. So in order to not change too much on the outside of the pile from the soil, we want to stay inside with our jet. So we place the ring a bit higher in order that if we jet from the nozzles, we are actually jetting down, that we are not jetting outside of the pile tip.
Yeah. And how many meters of fluidization will occur? I imagine you use it as a kind of garden hose in the bottom. And I have played with garden hoses and sand sometimes. I understand that it will fluidize a little bit, but how many meters will it stay fluidized above the ring?
That's a really good question. That's still one of the research questions we have, so we're working on that. But if you fluidize the whole of the pile, it stays for many meters fluidized.
Yeah,
and then we're investigating actually if we should fluidize all the soil that's inside the pile, or if we can manage just to fluidize like a sleeve along the pile.
Yeah, that would be.
But then for that question, we need to do the testing and a lot of modeling in order to see if it the soil in the middle will stay intact or if it would collapse, and then we need to fluidize more.
Yeah. I can, because if you stop fluidizing the sand, it will fall down.
Yes.
And do you, maybe a stupid question, when you're finished, do you need to add some extra soil on top, or you just leave it like that?
You leave it like that, actually. So not that much soil is leaving the pile. So the only place where it can leave the pile during an installation would be the cable holes.
Oh, yeah.
And most of the soil will stay inside the pile. The only change you really made is the how dense it is. So it was denser before, then we start fluidizing, and then it comes back in a very loose state.
So, so the soil will stabilize again at the original density, or?
No, at a loose state, because it's actually in the water, it's settling down quite.
But that's no problem for the stability of the whole structure.
No, the soil outside of the pile is way more important for the stability. So that's why it's not a problem if the inside is a bit looser.
Yep. Okay. Hi, Rob. I'm talking to Rob Spreij.
Yes.
What's your role in GBM Works?
I'm currently the project engineer for the fixed fibrojet that we are now bringing to the commercial market.
So you're responsible for the design of the ring that we are looking at today.
Yeah, and that's my responsibility, that it all functions and that the characteristic and specifications from Geotech, for example, are realized.
Yeah. So. Well, I've asked Hein and Charlotte already. It must be an exciting day for you.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, to see something that you have been drawing and that you have been talking about and discussing on how it should look like and how we can withstand the ground pressures. And to see that now becoming a reality is quite impressive.
And of course, then you have still to wait some months before you can know if it will work when you are participating in the CIMOX tests, onshore tests.
Yeah, yeah, that is still the suspense that we're in.
Yeah.
I think the day that the bell is lifted in the crane and put onto the ground and the pressure is turned on,
yeah,
that would, well, I think everybody within GBM will have higher heart rate, let's say it like that.
I can imagine. I always ask, were there any things that kept you awake during the night in the whole process of designing and manufacturing this tool?
I think what got to my attention the most is how we bring it all together. Like, we bring a product to market that is going to be integrated into existing products like a monopile. So we have already a fully developed product line. And actually we are disrupted that a bit with our product. And yeah, that's something that kept my mind. And like, how are those players in the market going to react, and how are they going to cooperate, or and how are we going to make it as easy as possible so that we have the least resistance.
Did you get a lot of support?
There is a lot of support. You can see it in the project partners. So we have a lot of backup, and that the conversation is always open. So I feel a lot of confidence about that. But still, there's always the moment when it actually happens.
Kirsten is making this for you, and you want to, of course, sell it to your clients. And you have good cooperation with those clients.
Yeah, so the GROW consortium really helps out with that. So we have continuous talks. We share in Simple2B the designs with the partners, and those partners will give feedback. They have been longer in the process of making monopiles, so their feedback is really valuable at this point.
And Rob, how are things going today? Is everything going to plan?
Yeah, everything is going to plan accordingly so far. So there are fitting at the moment and doing the tech welds, and then they're going to rotate and do the other part. So far everything looks good. The other one that they have done already, that looks nice and is within tolerance that we are expecting. And for us, this product is, it's also lessons for us to see how they are doing it, and to also better design so that we can easier stay within tolerances. So
because the insulation itself, it goes relatively fast.
Yeah, so this is now two segments into one monopile, and goes indeed relatively fast. But if we go to like a commercial monopile, then we will have an 8-meter diameter, for example.
Yeah, this one is 2.2 meters, so
that's going to be different. But still, the lessons that we are learning now, we can take with us for future designs.
Yeah, and then you can look for optimization, or maybe using even robots doing the work. Yeah.
They're gonna do so. This is the tech welding, and after the tech welding, they're gonna do the robot welding.
Oh yeah.
That's gonna be with the automated welding torch on the deck, so under like the layer of powder. But so automating the fitting would be difficult. But what I think about design is that we can maybe change some certain dimensions in such a way that we can make it easier for them to fit it in the right place, because the nozzle location is the most important.
Can you tell me how an 8-meter diameter yettering how it will look like?
Yeah, well, that's something that we're also going to discuss. So we have some multiple concepts in mind. On each different component of the monopile, fibrojet, I mean. And so when we go to a customer, a client, or partners, then we can discuss which option would be best fit for the project. But one thing that I definitely can say is that the two sections that we're having now in this 2x2 meter diameter, that will become roughly 6 or 8 segments if we go bigger.
Yeah. And each will get its own supply of water, pressurized water.
So there we bring also in the redundancy. So if one feed pipe, for example, malfunctions, we still have multiple segments.
Because you cannot send a technician down a monopile when you're installing.
We're still looking for someone if you want to go down there during fluidization.
I'm not volunteering.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Rob, for this interview.
You're welcome.
Hein, Charlotte and Rob, many thanks for having me here today. And I wish you a lot of success with the further development of this intriguing technology.
The research presented in this podcast series is supported by TKI Wind op Zee and the Netherlands Enterprise Agency. Would you like to learn more about this research? Check out the show notes where you'll find a reference to the Grow to Go web magazine.